Genesis 23. I'm going to spend a couple weeks in this passage of scripture. But I think I'm just going to deal with three verses tonight with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, let the church say amen. Father, would you add thy blessing to the reading of your word? Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Take these verses and use them in a unique way in our lives tonight. And may we be better for it. We love you and thank you for being an awesome God. And thank you for our wonderful Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. In chapter number 22, Abraham faced his biggest test. We called it the final exam. Now, we don't call it the final exam because it was his last exam. We call it the final exam because it was his biggest exam. How many of you know just because you have finals don't mean you're done with everything? It just means it's the culmination of a lot of tests. It's the big one. It's the one you've got to pass if you're going to move forward. Don't you think Abraham passed? Amen. Yes, he did. And God blessed him for it. He proved his love for God. I said last week, isn't it a blessing that we get to prove to God that we love him? We say it all the time, don't we? There's a difference between saying it and showing it. There's a difference between talking it and walking it. There's a difference between lipping it and living it. Amen. And Abraham got to prove it. Tests are a good way to prove. Tests are a good way to speak that I've been listening. I've been paying attention. I've been taking notes. I've not just been in the class, but what's been going on in the class is in me. He passed it. He was told to kill Isaac. And he proceeded as he was told. He was willing to go all the way, knowing that even if he did, God could raise Isaac back to life. And just in the nick of time, somebody ought to say amen, because God knows when the nick of time is. Just in the nick of time, God provided the lamb. The lamb was provided, we found out last week, because Abraham obeyed. Listen to me, beloved, as I reminded you, it always pays to obey God. And last week we saw that because of Abraham's submission, God solidified some promises, some things Abraham knew, some things Abraham had heard, some things God had said, some promises that Abraham was leaning on. They got clearer. They became cemented more. They seemed even closer, if you would. They were more special. They were more real. They were more intimate to the heart of Abraham. Listen to me. Obedience not only brings us closer to the promises of God, but it brings us closer to the God of the promises. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Pastor, I want to get closer to God. You got to learn to obey him. Somebody say amen. Every time I step closer to God, I obey him. I obey his word. It's not always easy. It's not always convenient. It's not always comfortable. It's not always what we had planned, but it always brings us closer to God. And the closer we get to God, the more those promises seem so real. They seem so bona fide. They seem so ratified. God addressed him him personally. God showed him his powerful authority. God gave him providential assurance. God reminded him of his proper act. God gave him positive affirmation. God gave him a proceeding addendum. Abraham obeyed God, but he realized just because the test is over doesn't mean I'm done obeying God. And even after the test was over, we saw last week, God began to remind Abraham, remember what I told you before? It's still good. And it's still good because you did what I told you to do. Amen. Folks, let's listen. We have come too far by faith to tap out now. Amen. There's too much going. Listen, there's too much ahead. Listen to me. Listen to me. By the way, we're getting to the last part of 2018. And I don't know about you, this year has flown by. I think they all fly by, but I think this one was on a turbo jet. I mean, doesn't it just seem like we were beginning 2018? And I want to warn you, once you hit Thanksgiving, I guarantee you, before long, we'll be praying in the new year. I mean, it's flying by. But can I tell you, even though the biggest part of the year has gone by, don't you think that God's worth still finishing strong? Amen? I'm telling you, September, October, November, December, God's got a lot going for us. If we wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be a good day. Amen? Because there's a good God that's in control. Don't lower. Don't slow down. Don't stop. Don't put your guard down. Press on, even in the moments that don't seem big. It doesn't seem like the lights are on. It doesn't seem like they're the biggest plot of the play. Press on for God. He is working things out for your good. The sustained progress. God gave us some commentary on Abraham. That it was told him that his brother's family was growing while his wasn't. And Abraham proved that he grew during that test by how he responded to somebody else's blessings. Somebody say amen. You can say you mature all you want to, but you are immature if you can't get happy when somebody besides you is blessed. But isn't it amazing that even after the test was over, God was still testing Abraham? The test is God's way of saying, my hand is on you, and I'm going to multiply you through Isaac. And immediately after confirming he was going to multiply Abraham through Isaac, his brother's family grows. News has traveled to Abraham in Canaan as to how his family is prospering back home. Look at this moment. News has traveled to Abraham in Canaan as to how his family is prospering back home. Now, you say, Pastor, what's the test? I think the test is missing home. Good stuff going on back home. Here I am in this strange land in Canaan, and the only thing going for me in Canaan is a promise from God that one day it's going to be my land. Could I remind you, it was a promise, but the land wasn't his yet. He was a stranger and a sojourner. And yet behind the scenes, God was working, because we saw not only was his brother's family growing, but of that growth was a girl named Rebecca. Now this is weaving together. Sometimes we jump into these passages of scripture like Genesis 24, where we'll be several weeks down the road, and I've preached out of Genesis 24, and we look at the story of Abraham sending his servant back home, right, to find Isaac a wife. This is the back home. Remember, the Bible says it was told Abraham, you see that verse? It was told Abraham that his brother was having children. Verse number 20. It was told. It had to be told Abraham because where his brother and his family was back home. Abraham's in Canaan. By the way, when you obey God, it will often take you away from family. And you're going to have to learn how to celebrate what God is doing in their life from a distance. Because you cannot abandon the will of God to accompany family. What a test. Now, Genesis chapter 23. Interesting passage of scripture. Right after the biggest test of his life. And thank God he passed. Because by passing, God had prepared him for chapter 23. I don't know if I have ever preached a message with this title, but I'm intrigued by the timing of Almighty God. Tonight, and for the next couple of weeks, I want to deal with this subject, dealing with death in the family. Dealing with death in the family. It's something we all have to deal with, isn't it? Now, let me say this respectfully. That if you're not walking with God, you won't avoid death in the family. But the problem is, you won't deal with it the right way. Here is a man in the center of God's will. He's doing right. He's obeying God. Listen, Genesis 22 did not end bad. It ended with this eruption. Jehovah Jireh is on my side. You know what Jireh means? Provider. How in the world, in the center of God's will, do you deal with the end of chapter 22 with Jehovah being the provider of life? In Genesis 23, with Jehovah being the taker of life. Hard to wrap your head around it. God, where am I? This should not be happening to me. You just blessed me. You just told me you're with me. You're working things out with Rebecca. And now, death comes to this family. What do you do? God is taking us in the book of Genesis in the middle of the life of one of the great patriarchs in the Bible and giving us a vivid example of how to deal with death. Mama, daddy, brother, sister, friend, somebody that you love is going to die. And it's not going to be because you're not living for God. It's going to be because it's part of life. Living for God won't keep you from dealing with death in your family, but living for God will keep you dealing with it the right way. Dealing with death in the family. Let me give you three quick principles tonight that God has encouraged me about. Number one, the inevitable reality. Death is real. We don't like to talk about it. Oh, we don't like to prepare for it. I guarantee you, I've been reading that announcement the last several weeks, and we've been dealing with this announcement that the Seasoned Saints will be hosting a pre-needs funeral arrangement. I guarantee you there's some of you that just kind of a cold chill goes through while I make the announcement. What in the world do we have to have? I mean, who wants to sit around and talk about? Let me tell you something. Not talking about it doesn't make it go away. It doesn't make it less real. Are you listening to me? We think if we close our eyes and don't look at something that the thing leaves. It's still there. Just because you won't look at it doesn't mean it goes away. Abraham is an example of how people that live for God in the center of the will of God cannot bypass, cannot circumvent, cannot go around this thing called death. It is an inevitable reality. Notice, if you would, the extended length Sarah enjoyed. 107 and 20 years old. Could I note something? Sarah is unique to Scripture because other women's ages were not listed. But he did this woman. Doesn't the Bible amaze you that the Virgin Mary, who I believe was a good woman, who trusted God, who was blessed and highly favored to be the woman into whom the Holy Ghost placed the Savior. What a blessing. Wouldn't that be a miracle, ladies? To be chosen by God to carry Jesus. But not one time in the Bible does God tell women to be like Mary. He does tell them to be like Sarah. God breaks a precedent. He says it one time in Genesis, and about women he never says it again. And yet he chose to mark Sarah with an extended length. Could I say to you tonight, whether your life is 127 years or whether it is 3 years, it is a gift from God, and the extent of that life we should be thankful for. And sometimes, beloved, listen to me, sometimes it takes the arrival of death for us to appreciate the length of our lives. And we look back at Sarah's life, and if we're not careful, we'll see when they left the Ur of the Chaldees. We'll see when this beautiful woman went into another country and Abraham made her look like he was her sister. We'll see when God tells her she's going to have a child and she laughs. We'll see when she puts away Hagar. We'll see all these times in Sarah's life, and perhaps we don't get to really understand until we get to the end. Wow, for 127 years, God sustained her. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we don't begin to appreciate people until after they're gone. The extended length. The experienced life. Look at verse number 23. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. Verse 1 of chapter 23, and Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Verse number 2, and Sarah. You know, it's interesting that three times her name is listed. You know why? Sarah had experienced some things. She'd seen God in an amazing way. And God wanted us to be reminded at the time of her death just how glorious her life was. Well, isn't it a blessing to look back over the life of someone and see how much they experienced about Almighty God? What a joy it is to know she had an extended length. She had an experienced life. She had an extreme love. Sarah, Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Sarah, Sarah, the mother of Isaac. Sarah, Sarah, that great matriarch that the Bible uses as an example. Sarah, Sarah, that woman through whom the miracle took place. Sarah, Sarah, that mother that we'd still be talking about in Hebrews chapter 11. Sarah, Sarah, that one upon whom the hand of God rested. Sarah, Sarah, that lady who trusted God by faith. Sarah, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, not some estranged acquaintance, not somebody he didn't know very well, not some story that flashed on the news, but his partner, his spouse, his wife. Death comes to those we love. And the embraced land, not back home, but in Canaan. Remember, folks, it was almost 40 years, perhaps before this, when God said to Sarah, "You're going to have a child." She thought she was old then. And look how much longer God kept her. You know what that tells me? It ain't over till God says it's over. I said it ain't over till God says it's over. What a joy. And here into this land, listen to me now. Sometimes the leadership of God takes you away from home, takes you away from familiarity, takes you away from what you're used to. And death doesn't come while you're familiar. Death comes while you're a foreigner. Here she was in the land of Canaan, not surrounded by her kinfolk, not surrounded by her family, but surrounded by strangers. Write this second point down. Not only the inevitable reality, but number two, the inherent reaction. Verse number 2. Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. That's the land I referred to. Would you look at verse number 2? And Abraham came. Everybody saying Abraham came. Death becomes a summoning trial, doesn't it? The deceased always brings people to him, to her. Around here we preach a lot of funerals, a lot of homegoing services. But not just around here, everywhere. Death brings people together, doesn't it? It brings families together that otherwise would not have come together. It doesn't say where Abraham was, but it gives us very clear implication that when Sarah died, he wasn't beside her. It's almost as if he didn't expect her to die. I don't think he was on a cruise. He probably was taking care of the flock. And yet, hear me now, and yet when somebody precious to him died, he stopped what he was doing. You know, I think God is teaching us in the death of Sarah how valuable people are. I listen to people during these homegoings and funerals, and it brings out a lot of emotion, doesn't it? But folks, let's not wait till funerals to appreciate people. And Abraham came. That's my wife. That's the mother of my son. She's been beside me. She's been with me. She's accompanied me. She believed me while I believed God. Now she's gone. It's a summoning trial. Look at the next words. He came to mourn. It's a sorrowful time. What happens when death comes to the family? Mourning. Look at the next two couple words. To mourn and to what? Weep. Sorrowful trial. Write this down. Sincere tears. I was reading years ago of one of the presidents. I can't remember what it was. Maybe Kennedy. But they judged his wife's response to his death by not crying as an indication of strength. We better be careful about that. Not crying does not always mean someone strong. And crying doesn't always mean someone sincere. Some people ain't crying because they didn't love like they should. And some people are crying because they don't trust like they should. I'm just here to tell you that it is inherent, and Abraham is proof, and so is Jesus in John chapter 11, that when death comes to the family, it's okay to mourn and it's okay to weep. Here comes Abraham. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to mourn, there's a time to weep. If we're not careful, these blessed Christian self-proclaimed advisors will tell you what to do when somebody dies. The problem is they will not adhere to their own counsel when they face a similar situation. How many know it's easy to coach when you're not in the game? Jesus wept. Everybody grieves differently. Everybody mourns differently. But I have a problem with somebody that has a loved one that dies that doesn't mourn at all. It hurts. We're created with emotion. We're created to feel pain. And by the way, pain, although it hurts, is a gift from God. Pain is the identification that something is causing the pain. And every single one of us is going to face that call, that moment, that crisis, that trial, where that son, that daughter, that mom, that dad, that mother-in-law, that father-in-law, that cousin, that brother, that sister, that grandparent, that dear person to our heart has passed away, and swirling over your mind will be, listen, I'm talking right where we all are. How should I react? Should I dry them up? Should I wipe them away? Should I let them flow? Should I avoid it? Should I not go? Should I stay? Should I visit? Should I not visit? Should I listen to me? Abraham is walking us through a human being facing that thing called death. It is a time to mourn and it is a time to weep. By the way, beloved, yes, we mourn and yes, we weep, but we sorrow not as those that have no hope, because we know that lying there is not somebody that's there to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But the pain of the loss, if you would, for lack of better words, it warrants mourning and weeping. I say that to say, you will battle those emotions. You don't think Abraham did? He was just coming off the greatest victory in his life, only to walk into, perhaps, the greatest pain. Listen to me, beloved. It's all a part of the journey. Pastor, it seems pretty morbid. No, no. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes in the Christian life, we're coming down off of a mountain singing hallelujah. Other times, we're coming in from the field to find out someone we love has died. Could I tell you, the common denominator in both is God is still in control. It's inherent. The Christian life was never intended for us to be superheroes. I think sometimes we do ourselves injustice by trying to be something we're not. Come on, talk to me. And we better be careful about being human prognosticators that tend to diagnose and evaluate what's right, what's wrong. By the way, some of the best encouragement you could ever give somebody is not giving anybody anything. Nobody can feel Abraham in that moment. Nobody knows what swirls in his mind, what thoughts he battled, what memories he cherishes. But yet the Bible says Abraham came to her. He had a moment next to the one he loved. By the way, for all of these skeptical superstitious Christians, I don't be around no dead people. Abraham was. There she was. She was gone. She was not there. But how he remembered her, he was there. And where he remembered her, he mourned. This is Bible, ladies and gentlemen. It's okay. Take your time. Cry about it. Mourn about it. Something wrong if somebody you used to having around is gone and you don't miss them. You don't have to pretend like you're okay. You don't have to act like you know what you're doing. Abraham didn't listen to me. There's no camera here and no director sitting in a chair going, Abraham, take one. This is not an act. This is not a movie. This is not a Disney production. This is not a Steve. Listen to me. Nobody told him his wife was going to die. Nobody told him Genesis 23 and its content followed after Genesis. I'm just telling you, this is a man of God that the Bible clearly reveals to us is walking right in the center of God's will. The Spirit of God is on him. The mind of God is on him. The working of God is on him. Spirituality is very clear. And a godly man in Genesis 23 is mourning and crying. And you can be godly and mourn and cry too. And then I'll close tonight. Next week I want to look at, it's funny, it's not funny, it's interesting that I'm reading on the announcements, funeral preparations, and we're going to watch Abraham next week make funeral arrangements. But I want you to get the next phrase and then I'm done for the night. Verse 3. And Abraham stood up from before his dead. Look here just a moment. It's okay to mourn and it's okay to weep. Just make sure you don't do it forever. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Can I tell you, I'm glad that hurt Abraham knew how to stand back up. And there comes a time when dealing with death, we've been saying in the family, you never get over it, you just get through it. You never get over it, you just get through it. And by the way, when I say stand up, I don't mean stand up to never cry anymore. Because you'll probably cry till you see him in heaven. But you won't cry because you're not going to see him. Amen. Come on now. The hope that God gives us is not a cross the finger hope. It's a hope steadfast and sure. Come on now. If God said it, I believe it, and that settled it. I'm just simply saying that you can't stand around the tragedy forever. You've got to stand up. You know why? Because your time at death is coming, but it has not come yet. And there's still work for you to do. There's still a job for you to accomplish. Notice, if you would, the imperative resolve, the inevitable reality, it's coming. The inherent reaction, it hurts, but the imperative resolve, we've got to stand up before our dead. Now watch this now. There's a difficult acceptance that Abraham has to make. Here it is. This is my wife. Look at the words in the Bible. He stood up from before, next two words, his dead. Oh, wait a minute. Sarah ain't there. To him she was. That's his wife. See, listen to me. You can leave the funeral. You can leave the cemetery. You can leave the state where the funeral was held. But you will never be able to move forward until you accept it. He stood up. God has made his decision. And if he made it, I accept it. How many would raise your hand and say, that ain't easy? Difficult acceptance. And then write this down and I'm closing. Definite advancement. We're going to see next week how even God can use the making of arrangements to take our mind off of the grief of death. You know what he's saying? I want you to take time to mourn, but I also want you to get up and keep on living for me. I was so moved by Genesis 23 at this particular time in my life, our life, our family's life, because I've literally watched God take verses on scripture. Let's not forget, Abraham was a human being. He didn't have a ring that you hold up in the air and call earth, fire, and wind. He didn't have a phone booth where he put on a cape. He didn't have a costume. He was a man with a soul, with emotions that hurt. And even while I'm talking, you're thinking about a loved one that you miss. That ain't easy. But Abraham's showing us something. Get down and mourn and weep. And don't let anybody tell you not to. You hear me? It's the pastor talking. Don't let anybody tell you not to. But after you and God have come to grips with what was his choice to give life and his choice to take life, then in Jesus' name, stand up. Amen. And honor your loved one by making the necessary arrangements so that God is pleased and that loved one is remembered. That ain't a typical sermon that I'd pick to preach, was in the Bible. Amen. and we all need it.
That's right, sir.
Now we're going to deal with death. And it ain't easy. Every day my mind wanders. Every day. It's going to keep being like that. Talk to my wife all the time. We talk and laugh, and then we cry and laugh. But you know what we've determined by the grace of God? We're going to stand up and go on for God. And every one of you has been there. One of the toughest things to do is to figure out how to transition from mourning and crying to standing. Don't figure it out. Take Nike's advice. Just do it. Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to stand up. Do you know how you've stood up all these years? I can tell you how. It's been the grace of God. And everyone in here who's lost a loved one, and I don't know if there's anybody in here who hasn't, will tell you, at the time, I didn't know how I would make it. But I'm here tonight, today, to tell you I'm standing and I have made it. You got to make the choice to stand. Some people never get back up. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to weep. But not like you have no hope. You got to go back to living for God. You don't die with the deceased. You live on after the deceased. It doesn't make you better and it doesn't make the deceased less. It just means their time's done and yours ain't. So in Jesus' name, press on. I don't know about you, Genesis 23 is helping me. Now let it help you. If you're not dealing with death right now, glean from it, because you're going to. And you're going to go to the next week, we're going to talk about all of that funeral stuff and all of that. And you're going to go, and let me tell you something. Every one of us goes through difficulties. I want to learn from somebody walking with God, not just how I can have a good time during a great church service. I want to know how I can honor God during a tough trial.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. It ain't easy. But you better thank God that the test you passed yesterday could be God's way of preparing you for today. In Jesus' name, press on. Father, help us. Help all of us to learn some things that aren't easy, but they're necessary. We've all dealt with some of these tough areas, and some folks are dealing with them now, and some folks might be close to dealing with them soon. Thank you for the grace you give us. But we've got some choices to make too, and I pray we'll make them in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen.